95.
Yeah.
All right. I am going to now call to order the June 17th Board of Governors meeting for the DC Bar. We assume we have a quorum and would like to welcome everybody back. I'm trying to see, I know aside from Steven Salzberg, if we have any other new, soon to be new members. Deandra Roche, I think I saw there. Hello. Hi.
Yeah, Deandra. She's still there. Yeah.
Yep, yeah. I saw. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. I really only have a couple things I want to mention in the president's report. I was asked to come to the bar on May 22nd to address and attend the all staff meeting that the leadership has with the staff on a recurring basis throughout the year. And I have to tell you, it was such a joy. Just getting to be part of the team and sit and listen to the accomplishments. But what I really want to do is praise you, Bob, for how you engage with the staff and with your colleagues and the information that you share, that you take questions. It was just really evidence of how you lead. And I really enjoyed it. And I also told the staff, I said, I am either the best or the worst judge of association management staff, because that's what I do for a living. And I said, honestly, I really don't tell my staff I said this, but I cannot think of any organization whose staff are better than the DC Bar staff. I mean, you all are absolutely fantastic in everything you do, how you engage and serve the members. And that's not just me saying that to be nice. I see it every day, and you see it especially when you're in this role, because you work with the staff many times per day, as it turns out, in many different departments. And so I wanted to praise you for having those meetings, for the engagement, but also thank the staff for what you do for bar members as well. So
thank you.
I just thought that's really solid leadership when you have meetings like that. I would also like to acknowledge several groups of people in the room. These have to do with elections, appointments, whatever it might be, but we have some newly elected folks. You may have heard there was an election, right, Diane? Some of them are, like I said, there are two on the call today, but just Amanda Molina, who will become treasurer-elect July 1st, Luis Lopez, Bennett Rushkoff, Steven Salzberg, Deandra Roche, who's on the call as well. Karen was reelected. Congratulations, Karen and Andrea. We have some folks who will be departing, Stephen Miller, Charles, Rebecca, Roger, June, and Alicia Long. But we'll have some time later after the board meeting. I hope you'll join us for a reception we're going to have here to recognize everybody and say hello or farewell or whatever the case may be. But congrats to everybody who will be joining us. All right, that's pretty much all I wanted to talk about for President's Report. Try to keep it short. If we can, let's move on to the consent agenda. We have that in your packet. Is there a motion to approve? Is there a second? All those in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, thank you. Treasurer's Report.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We just need the report on the screen. There we go. So I'm reporting on the financial results for the bar for the first 9 months of fiscal year 2025, the period ending in March of 2025. And here are the key takeaways. Slide two, please. The bar ended the quarter with a surplus from operations of $533,000. We had budgeted a deficit of $617,000, which means that we are better than budget by $1.1 million. Let's just take that in for a moment. Year-to-date revenue was $32.5 million, which is more than what we budgeted by 1%, excuse me. Expenses were $31.9 million, which is less than what we budgeted by 3%. Overall revenue is greater than budget by $165,000. Higher than budget results for license fee revenue, for more reinstatement fees than expected, and higher rent from updated leases where we receive a percentage of sales from Cucina Marini. Additionally, higher meeting room rentals to external parties was offset by lower than budgeted sponsorship revenue as we shift to an in-house sponsorship program. Expense savings occurred in professional fees from the timing of services received and in miscellaneous expenses and equipment lease and services due to lower than budget building related expenses to date. Personnel expenses were more than budget due to higher health insurance premiums or costs, overtime conversion of a consultant into an employee, and the use of temporary staffing for staff on parental leave and vacancies. The increase in net assets of $1.9 million is a result of $533,000 surplus from operations, a net $47,000 in client security fund disbursements, plus investment gains of $1.4 million. For non-licensed fee-funded activities, communities had a deficit of $75,000 from operations, which is greater than what we budgeted by $11,000. Revenue overall was less than what was budgeted by $42,000 due to lower community dues and practice manual sales offset by higher than budgeted sponsorship revenue. Communities also recognized expense savings from professional fees related to photography and IT-related consultants. With respect to CLE, we had a deficit of $69,000 from operations, which was $50,000 less than what we budgeted. Revenue was greater than budgeted by $34,000 due to passport sales, reflected in admissions and registrations, and on-demand courses reflected in books and publication sales. Expenses were less budgeted than by $16,000. The shift of a consultant to employee status led to savings in professional fees and higher than budgeted expenses and personnel. The consolidated CLE program, which includes the mandatory course, rules education, and non-licensed fee-funded CLE, generated a surplus from operations of $140,000. This is due to revenue from on-demand course registrations and books and publications, and expense savings in food and beverage, as well as meeting room rentals from fewer in-person programs. Other non-licensed fee-funded activities, which include certificates of good standing, sponsorship related to member benefit affinity programs, rentals of the conference center and the studio to outside clients, and the newly launched My DC Lawyer referral service, all together generated a surplus of $348,000 from operations, but this was $165,000 lower than what we budgeted. My DC Lawyer, the new benefit launched this year, generated $24,000 in revenue during this period. So overall, revenue was less than budget by $158,000, with better than expected results in rental revenue for the studio and meeting room offset by shortfall in sponsorship as the transition to the in-house program is implemented. Expenses overall were less than budget by $7,000, primarily from savings and personnel costs. IT license fees were over budget $50,000 due to the My DC Lawyer implementation that had not been budgeted this year. And this was mitigated by the $24,000 in revenue generated. We had $104 million in total assets at the end of the quarter. Our cash balance was $33.2 million and our investment balance was $23.8 million at the end of March. Compared to the same time last year, our cash increased by $154,000 and our investments increased by $2.3 million. As part of our investment strategy, we moved operating cash into a higher earnings short-term fixed income investment to take advantage of the higher rate interest rate environment. All in, our cash investment portfolio has grown 10% over last year. The balance of the mortgage on the building, which comes due in August of 2037, was $47.7 million. And this concludes my report of the DC Bar's financial performance through the third quarter ending March 2025.
Thank you, Mark. Any questions for Mark? All right, I don't see any in the room or online. Thank you very much, Mark.
Yep.
And Mark? Moving on, Mr. Spagnoletti, CEO report.
Okay, we've got a presentation for this one today, so we'll get that up on the screen. Great. Thanks, Akhil. You can go ahead and move to the next slide. So, elections. We heard about some of the results, but just to let you know about how it went technically, voting was open from April 15th through and including June 4th, which felt like about 400 years for those on the inside. All the voting was electronic through our vendor survey and ballot systems. And according to the vendor, there were no irregularities and no issues with the system. And everybody had a relatively seamless voting experience. Member engagement in this year's election was extraordinary, to say the least. Over the past 50 years, the average number of ballots cast in 1 year was 7,444. This year, the total was 38,636, representing 43.26% of all eligible voters. It was record-breaking. I want to express my appreciation to the staff for having managed this, because it was a huge effort. And although there was plenty of attention placed on the candidates in the election, we, I think, executed it neutrally, fairly, without issue. And for that, I really appreciate the work of the staff, Ray in particular, Idem, Crystal, marketing, and everybody else who had a hand in the events that we did. So thank you all very much. We are on day 48 of license renewal. And essentially, we're at the same place we were last year. So we're running pretty within a few percentage points, depending on whether you're looking at license renewal or communities or CLE passport. We're pretty close to where we were last year on day 48. It always changes from year to year, depending on when the reminder emails go out and what day of the week you're looking at and the rest. But we're pretty much on track. As of this morning, 48,147 members had renewed their licenses. There are two notable developments, though. The number of subscribers from My DC Lawyer, our lawyer referral service, is 23% ahead of where we were this time last year, with 432 subscribers compared to 352, and 75% of those subscribers are brand new. They're new to the system. You also heard from Steve a minute ago that in terms of our donations to the pro bono center as part of the license renewal process, we're ahead by 9%, which is significant. As of this morning, we are running about $1.17 million just associated with license renewal. And I would say, as Steve mentioned, we have more than 3,500 first-time new donors. That is fantastic. We sent you an email last week about the rule change that was approved by the DC Court of Appeals. You will recall that the board recommended amending Rule 2, Section 4, concerning the permissible use of mandatory license fees. This amendment aligns the use of license fees with the constitutional standard under Keller. With this change, the DC Bar and the Pro Bono Center have greater flexibility to use license fees, and it significantly streamlines the accounting process. It harmonizes the inconsistencies that existed between the case law and the referenda about the use of those license fees. So it's really kind of a monumental shift in how the bar will be able to operate and use its fees. So many thanks to Idem, the governance committee, the board, and of course the court for making this really significant change. The happiest person in the room, however, is Margarita Lorenzetti. Right. It was remarkable. I think we traded a little bit on the rules committee's guilt for having not moved earlier rules recommendations. So they like swept this one in with the rest. Interestingly, we received zero comments when we put it out for comment. So it went through nice and easily, which is fantastic. In your materials, there are three reports that I want to mention briefly. The investment committee report, audit committee, and then a report on how we did with projects in support of the strategic plan. The investment committee, as you know, monitors both the DC Bar's investment and Pro Bono Center's investments, but also the staff retirement plan investments as well. Our investment advisor for the DC Bar and the Pro Bono Center investment portfolios, they did a great job with the diversification of our assets and kept it really well balanced. And they hit their annual target return rate of 5%, even with all the market volatility. All of our reserve categories are fully funded. So all that is terrific. The staff retirement plans have also done it really well. They saw growth both in the employee contributions as well as participation among the employees. And since July 1st, 2024, the staff money purchase plan grew by 5%, deferred comp by 11%, and the Pro Bono Center's 403B plan by 7%, notwithstanding the market volatility. So that is fantastic. Our advisors both for both groups do a really fantastic job. There was also tons of education programs for the staff to help them weather the uncertainty that came along with the market instability. For the audit committee, the Pro Bono Center's compliance audit for the DC Bar Foundation grant funding for FY24 resulted in another clean opinion. So we had a single program audit. There was one repeat finding, the same as last year, regarding the approval of timesheets. It had been actually identified too late in the fiscal year for us to make a change for FY24, but we have instituted a corrective action plan, which has been blessed by the auditor, which really requires us to spend more time monitoring and checking to make sure that the right approval chain is followed. It had nothing to do with the expenditure of funds. The funds were used appropriately. It didn't have anything to do with whether the time was actually put on the grant project. It just had to do with a technical supervisory approval of the timesheets. And then the third report that's in your materials is how we did on the FY25 projects that we identified in support of the strategic plan. Here at the DC Bar, the Pro Bono Center, we are guided by the strategic plan. We don't leave it on the shelf. We make sure that we put it into operation by identifying activities and projects that support the plan. At the beginning of the bar year, as we do this year, as we do each year, we identified a dozen such projects that would be in support of the strategic plan. We updated the board on the status of those projects during the year and included in your materials a checklist of those projects and whether or not we successfully completed them. I'm not going to go through the entire list in the interest of time, but the staff and I are happy to answer any questions you have about those projects. And you'll see that they were all completed with two of them still underway, meeting the president's reception target for donations for next week, and the final completion of the audit of the bar's handling of protected health information. Other than that, all the rest were completed. And then finally, and I would argue most significantly, I want to share with you some information about the DC Bar and the Pro Bono Center staff and their workplace experience. You've heard me say before many times that we are an organization of people. We don't make widgets. We provide service, and our human capital is the most important resource that we have. We prioritize the staff, their benefits, and their work experience. For the past 4 years, we have conducted an in-depth engagement survey with the staff to let them weigh in on how we're doing as an organization, whether we're supporting them in their mission, helping them to grow professionally, and creating an environment where they feel welcome and empowered to achieve. The survey is conducted by a company called EnerGage as part of the Washington Post's Best Places to Work program. It was conducted in December here at the bar, and we shared the results with the staff earlier in the year. And I'm very pleased to report that our employee engagement has grown year over year, despite the economic and social challenges. And in fact, this year, our staff reported record engagement. With an overall engagement score of 92%, it was up 3 points from last year and 11 points ahead of the benchmarks for similar organizations, generally nonprofits, but not exclusively, that are the same size and structure as the DC Bar. The workplace themes that went into the survey, you could see on the right-hand side of the slide, whether or not we are closely aligned and have a shared value and meaning in what we do, whether the staff was empowered to execute and enabled to grow, whether they are engaged in giving maximum discretionary effort, commitment, and advocacy, whether they feel fairly valued, perceptions of fairness around pay, and whether or not they again feel fully engaged in what goes on here. The survey also asked them to identify three words which would describe the culture of the DC Bar. And you can see in the word cloud what words came up most often: inclusive, flexible, professional, supportive, transparent, and the rest. So we are really proud of the culture that we've built here. When we're all aligned and engaged in our work, it shows in our interaction with the members and the public, and it's gratifying to work with people who genuinely enjoy what they do. So it is with great pleasure that I announce to you all that as a result of this high level of engagement, we have been named as one of the Washington Post's best places to work. We're going to receive...
Well,
We'll receive the award tomorrow at a reception. It'll be announced formally in the press by the Post on Sunday. So it's technically not public yet. So try not to post it on anything, at least till Sunday. But I did tell the staff this morning so that I could tell you, and they would get to hear it first. And so they're aware. I think the response was generally, we already knew that. Well, now it's official. We get to put our branded logo on top on everything that we do. So I want to thank all of you for your support in this, because we could not do it without the support of the board. You give us the vision, the strategic opportunity, and the resources to do things for the staff, provide them with great benefits, fair pay, and a really great work environment. So thank you all very much.
So you ended with that
I'm
one.
Done.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
I'm totally done.
Any questions for? Congratulations on that. I was just texting with Marg, and I said, remind me again for the staff retirement, do you do auto enrollment and auto escalation, which are really like progressive, how you should handle these programs? And she said, yes. And I'm like, of course the bar does that. It's just really smart and a great way to treat employees. So congrats to you and the staff and Thank everybody you. For making this happen. Any questions for Bob on anything in his report? Okay. Thank you very much, Bob. All right. Now, how we're going to keep that going for the next 5 years. I'm going to turn it over to Jeff Kleinberg, who has been gracious enough to chair the Strategic Planning Committee this year, which is now coming to us with its report. Thank you, Jeff.
Great. Well, thank you, Sean. It's great to be here with all of you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So on behalf of the Strategic Planning Committee, I am pleased to present to the Board of Governors our proposed strategic plan to guide the bar from 2025 to 2030. As discussed in the cover memo, our committee has been meeting since last fall. We have met multiple times to discuss how to structure our proposal and to prioritize various goals. We conducted outreach with key constituencies, including many of you, as well as representatives from the DC courts, the disciplinary system, the voluntary bar leadership, and DC bar staff. And we participated in a retreat a few weeks ago to iron out the proposal that you have before you. I should emphasize that we were expertly led throughout this process by Jennifer Lewin and her colleagues at the ABA's Center for Bar Leadership. So I wanted to make just a couple of observations regarding the proposed plan. First, although our proposal is substantively quite similar to the plan that has guided us over the past 5 years, we have structured it somewhat differently. Rather than defining six strategic priorities, we have instead identified four essential outcomes that we would hope to achieve. First one being a legal profession defined by excellence, inclusion, and innovation. Two, lawyer professional growth and satisfaction. Three, increased access to legal information and services. And four, organizational excellence, although perhaps we should modify that to say maintain organizational excellence. So the second then, to achieve these hoped-for outcomes, we've identified a number of strategic objectives that will help lead, we hope, to the desired results. The staff, in collaboration with the voluntary leadership and the board, will take these outcomes and objectives and figure out how best to operationalize the plan. And by staff, I really mean Ray, I think. By identifying the programs and activities undertaken by the bar to further each of these goals. And third, as Bob has mentioned to me many times over the years, and as reflected, in fact, in today's report, the strategic plan really is an important document that helps the staff plan and prioritize its various activities, and it provides useful guardrails to shape the programs and ensure that everything that the bar does furthers its overall mission. So it has been an honor to chair the Strategic Planning Committee this year. I thank Sean for the opportunity, and I'm happy to answer any questions anyone may have. Thank you very much.
A question. And just to say thank you, I think the organization and clarity is really great, particularly sort of compared to the prior list of objectives, it's really clear. On the DC Bar mission, the list of bullets, my one question, and I don't know if it was just I was reading this when I was tired, but the very last bullet, it's carry on a continuing program of legal research and education in the technical fields of substantive law, practice and procedure, and make reports and recommendations thereon. And then this is where I got lost. To the end that the public responsibility of the legal profession may be more effectively discharged. What is that trying to say?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think one thing to note is that the DC Bar's mission is taken, I think now verbatim, from the court's rules. So what we think of as our sort of constitution is what the court has laid out back in 1972 or three. And so, but I'll turn to Irem to explain what that
is. Yeah. So Jeff is exactly right. The mission that we replicated here comes directly from the court rules governing the bar, which are also repeated in the bar's bylaws. And I think that last, I'm no grammarian and Jeff Kleinberg can't see it away from me, but I think that last clause after the semicolon, it modifies all of the things listed as parts of the mission. So assisting the legal profession, aiding the courts, all of those are to the end that the public responsibility of the legal profession may be effectively discharged, not just the last bullet regarding continuing legal research and education.
So it would have been better if it was to the so the
we could legal... have just put a period at the word recommendations. So I'll take that one. It might have been a copy and paste issue, and we can clean that up very easily. So
I actually asked ChatGPT what it means, and its explanation was longer than this statement. But in summary, it says this mission statement means the group is committed to ongoing research and education in specific areas of law to help lawyers better serve the public interest. So that's the thrust of it. But if you need to make a technical edit, I think we understand.
Thanks, Sean.
That's an improvement, I think.
Layla?
I have two questions, actually. The first one is, I don't know if this was your handout or another one, but it talks about projects in support of the strategic plan, and one of them mentioned hiring and onboarding a new pro bono center director of development.
That's for the pro bono center.
That's the report for the current year, and Jeff's talking about the future plan.
Okay. So, sorry, just take a quick step back, but is that still, that's still the status?
So Steve Marcus, who presented the report on the current state of the development for the pro bono center, he is that person who was hired and onboarded this year.
That's
why it's completed. Yes.
No, it says pending. That's why I'm asking.
It's the total amount raised. As I mentioned during the report, we're still waiting on the total amount raised for the president's reception.
Okay, thank you. And the other question, Jeff, I think for you, since you have looked into this so carefully with your committee and have the historical background on it, can you speak a little bit about the role of this building in the strategic plan of the bar and perhaps how it was originally envisaged when we embarked on this as a bar to acquire the building and how it fits into the picture going forward?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And I do think it obviously factors into the organizational excellence outcome as a place to work and as a building that functions quite, I think, effectively to serve a lot of the needs of the staff who work here. But I do also think that it plays an important role in, I think, outcome number two, which is let's get the words right, sort of lawyers' professional growth and satisfaction as a way of being able to bring together lots of different lawyers and groups and in various, both social activities as well as educational opportunities and educational activities. And so I think it is, the building was completed and was basically ready to go just as COVID happened. And it was I think it, Bob can certainly speak more to how it's come back. I mean, my year, we never even got to set foot in the building, but it was, so it's always been this sort of tantalizing opportunity that I was never quite able to enjoy as much, but my sense is that it has become and will become over the next 5-year period, even more of a hub for lawyers in our community to thrive.
Can I say one thing on that? Is this on?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm like not hearing anything today. I just want to say, and I meant to say this before, it was a great chance. The member receptions that the bar held during the elections, that they were in this building, and not only that they were done, but how they were done. This building was amazing. And I've been through a couple of buildings. I mean, 1101K is lovely, 1250H less so in that basement. But, and the turnout, yeah, the turnout was big, but it was just such a great space. And I understand that's just two examples, but the voluntary bar fair, facilitating that in this kind of space. I mean, I don't know how much exposure everyone else would have to some of these things. And I don't want Bob to be too, you know, humble to, you know, shine on it, light on it. So I will, but those just in the recent months were terrific use of this space.
So
beautifully executed.
The theory behind the building was, first of all, we are a perpetual organization with mandatory license fees, and we are renting space, right? So that didn't make a whole lot of sense from a financial perspective. But in terms of designing a building such as this, it was meant to be member-centric. It was meant to be a home for our members where they would want to come, not simply where they had to come, right? So it was designed with lots of open space and meeting rooms and a gigantic conference center and a rooftop event space and a broadcast studio that would enable us to provide our members with tons of different services and opportunities along the way. We did have the unfortunate interruption of COVID, but what I will say is, notwithstanding that, almost every, we have one bit of space left on the seventh floor. Everything else is leased out and rented out. So it generates income. It generates income that helps keep license fees down. Again, I can get in the weeds about this because I know way too much. But when the design of the building was made, they anticipated license fees increasing $7 a year for the first X number of years. And we've not had that. Right. We've had, you know, we had one bigger-ish bump, like $10, but not anything. Some years, nothing, or 1 year going down, because the building has generated revenue for us. And it is a community opportunity for everybody. It is, we have so much space being leased out and rented out. Stacy has trouble sometimes finding a room that's available for some other activity. So, and the staff were working on a hybrid basis. So sometimes we're here, sometimes we're out of the office, but it is very much a living, breathing entity that generates revenue for the DC bar, keeps the cost down for the members, and provides a really wonderful home.
True.
I spent a lot of time thinking about the building, by the way.
Actually, I think the only time you and I were in the building during COVID was when we had to sign paperwork sitting at far ends of the table and brought our own pens, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. You were the treasurer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Exactly. You get to sign lots of paperwork when you're president and treasurer, just saying. Any other questions for Jeff? Anybody online? All right. Well, with that one minor technical edit, then I guess I'll entertain a motion to approve the new 5-year 2025 to 2030 strategic plan.
So moved.
Is there a second? A lot of them. Okay. All those in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Jeff, congratulations. Thank you again for the work that you did. When I called you, I thought, oh God, he's not going to want to do this. So I started with good news, Jeff. I have this opportunity. But thank you.
Well, no, thank you, Sean. It was a real honor. Thank you.
With that, we can move into executive session where we'll have a little discussion and then end the meeting and go outside.
Yes, so. Please, everybody stay. We held dessert out there for this very reason, to make sure you wouldn't leave beforehand.